The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
It was a fantastic weekend, especially if you roster Jose Abreu and Manny Machado. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today on a Monday, August 24th. Frank Stanfill here alongside Scott White and Chris Towers. We're nearly halfway through a 60-game season, so that means I can take victory laps on Abreu and Machado, right? That's how this works, guys?
Sure. I mean, Machado's heated up to a point that his numbers look like they were expected to look in the first place. So I guess that's something to get excited about. Yeah. But no, I did think about you over the weekend with Jose Abreu hitting 6 home runs. Wow, Frank must have moved up a lot of spots in the standings.
Honestly, yeah. I wish I had more shares of both of those guys. I didn't wind up with enough. I don't know why. Just worked out.
I mean, like 5 days ago, you had plenty of both of them, maybe too much. So, you know, we're still at that point in the season where a victory lap can turn into a pity parade in, you know, 6 games. So, you know, let's not go anointing everyone unless it was someone that I liked, in which case we don't have to wait at all.
Yeah, and I have a feeling we're going to talk about a player that you like pretty soon. But let's get that started. Oh, my goodness gracious. This edition will be the waiver ad of the week. And take it away, Susan.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right. Chris, I'll give you first dibs at the oh, my goodness gracious waiver wire ad of the weekend. And it is?
It's got to be Tristan McKenzie.
Yes.
Who struck out 10 in his major league debut. One strikeout for every pound that he weighs. He is alarmingly skinny, but man, was he awesome in his first start. He was able to, I think he averaged 95 miles per hour with the fastball, got a good amount of swinging strikes with that pitch. He looked electric. And he was someone who I mentioned a few times in the preseason just because, like, we didn't know what Tristan McKenzie was anymore at this point, but because he hadn't pitched since 2018 and really since, like, I think it was like almost 2 years to the day, like 4 or 5 days off since the last time he pitched in a game before his debut. And so he could have lost a lot, but this guy was a really, really good prospect before all the injuries. And they weren't, I don't think they were like shoulder injuries or Tommy John surgery. I'm pretty sure it was like an abdominal issue and then something else, but
I thought he did have a shoulder problem, but
he might have, but that wasn't the reason he missed 2 years. He had a different injury. It was sort of like Jameson Taillon, where like part of it was an elbow injury for Taillon and part of it was another type of injury. And so in McKenzie's case, we just hadn't seen him in 2 years. And so he was kind of out of sight, out of mind. He was still a top 100 prospect, but man, he looked awesome in that first start. And, you know, I think it's so hard to say that he's a must add player just because we don't actually know how long they're going to need him in the rotation. On the other hand,
who doesn't have a pitcher they could drop for a guy who just did that?
Yeah. And on the other hand, if he does that again, there's no way the Indians can take him out of their rotation, even as good as, you know, Mike Clevinger obviously would be back in the rotation eventually, but you know, maybe Zach Plesac doesn't get back in the rotation or, you know,
yeah.
Life finds a way.
The Indians need a starter at some point this week, I think Wednesday. And they're being, you know, they're being kind of sketchy. They're not being very revealing as to who they're going to bring up, but they did say that McKenzie at least earned one more start. So he is going to get another turn in the rotation. And I suspect they'll then give him another turn if he performs well in that one. You know, that they don't have room for McKenzie, Clevinger, and Plesac is the thing. But
right,
Clevinger and Plesac, I mean, at this point, now that they have another option here in McKenzie, it's possible that they do start playing the service time game with one or both of them, because they are like, I think like 2 weeks away from them getting another year of control.
And if they keep them down. You know, trade deadline's coming.
Yeah.
And there were, I believe there were some Mike Clevinger whispers in the off season. So, you know, this is an Indians team that really loves shedding payroll while staying competitive. And if Trinston McKenzie can keep this up, they very well could shed some payroll and stay competitive.
Speaking of Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac, they both threw five innings in simulated games at the Indians' alternate site this weekend. I have no idea when Clevinger and Plesac are going to be back, but Trinston McKenzie was awesome this weekend. 10 strikeouts, 6 innings of one-run ball. Obviously, a really nice matchup there against the Detroit Tigers. He is 47% rostered on CBS. Scott, how much fab would you be willing to spend right now on McKenzie?
Well, I was regretting how much fab I already had spent on other players because I didn't have enough to get him in any of my fab leagues. And I was very excited to pick him up because he did look electric. I was surprised he was able to, they left him out there for as many pitches as they did, coming straight up from the minor league site, you know, regardless of him missing a full year with an injury. By the way, it was an upper back injury last year, but there was some question as to whether it had to do with weakness in the shoulder, and he did miss time with a forearm injury in 2018. So he has had some arm problems.
Okay.
But regardless, he's up now and he's performing now, and pitchers who perform particularly that can be picked up are few and far between. So yes, that's a very exciting pickup. If you want me to pivot to my own, oh my goodness gracious, waiver wire claim of the weekend.
Before you do that, Scott, did you say how much fab on McKenzie?
Oh, I never gave you an answer, did I? I don't know. A quarter?
It's really hard to say right now because like you might, like, I think I was looking at one of my leagues the other day and someone had $4 out of 100 or 200.
Yeah, that's probably not going to get it done.
Other people had like 180. And so like if you're the $4 person, just skip ahead, hit that forward 30 seconds button because you're not going to get Trinston McKenzie. If you like, if you have $180 left, you could probably spend half of that.
Yeah.
Like he has the potential to be that kind of can't miss waiver wire ad where at this point in the season, it's halfway done. Who else are you going to spend it on?
I keep thinking though, which is why I'm down to so few fab dollars. Oh, it's not going to get better than this. And then something better happens. So, yeah, I mean, it is relative to what you have. It's relative to what you've been seeing the rest of your league do with whenever a new player emerges on the waiver wire. So you kind of, it's a really hard question to answer in a vacuum.
All right, Scott.
Sorry for that cop out.
You don't have much fab left, which you just told us regarding McKenzie. So if you're not going to get him, who is someone that you might be able to get?
Well, he's been rostered in all of my leagues already for a long time, but he's still rostered in only 60% of CBS sports leagues. So I think it is time for the rest of the fantasy playing world to wake up to Corbin Burnes.
We're back.
Who is back in the rotate and is setting it afire with his arsenal of power pitches, missing tons of bats, allowing very few hits. It's actually kind of absurd for, and obviously he spent some time in the bullpen, but it was like long relief, a couple of three inning outings. The strikeout rate versus the hit rate, that whatever ratio that would
be. Was it double?
I don't have it pulled up, but it's big.
It is. He has 29 strikeouts coming into today. Sorry. Coming in today, he had 29 strikeouts to 10 hits. He allowed 5 hits and 7 strikeouts. So it's 36 to 15. So more than double.
Wow. More than double. Yep. And there have been some walks. It's a little concerning, but I think the stuff is clearly overwhelming. And I suspect that as he's stretched out more, that walk rate will drop a little bit and you'll end up starting him basically every week. And, you know, again, the fact that he's still available in 40% of leagues is just, I'm not sure who fell asleep to cause that to happen.
And his BABIP is not actually that low. It's 259 right now, which is low. You know, you don't expect him to keep that up. Obviously he had a 414 last season. But it's not so low that you think that that's what's driving him being good. It really is that he's just been really hard to square up and he's not allowing any contact.
Yeah. And I think you're probably going to use him if you have him on your team this week, because he's going up against the Pirates again. So that's a solid matchup. So if you're looking for a single start stream, a good matchup, Corbin Burnes this upcoming week.
Oh, he is better than a stream.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he's in my 10 sleeper pitchers for this week.
His fastball is still getting hit pretty hard. It's worth saying. He has sort of moved to the cutter being his primary pitch against lefties, mm-hmm. which is interesting.
It was his primary pitch. Like, he threw it 40% of the time today.
Yeah, and honestly, given how hard the four-seamer's gotten hit, he had a 672 X slug last year and 740 coming into today's game. That might not be a bad idea. It might not be a bad idea for him to just ditch the four-seamer. It's not like it's allowing him to hit the strike zone anyway.
I'm going to go with Justice Sheffield from this weekend, guys. And we've talked about Sheffield quite a bit here, but against the Texas Rangers on Saturday, 6 innings of one-run ball, 5 strikeouts. That's 3 straight quality starts in a row for Justice Sheffield. He's allowed just 2 earned runs during his past 3 starts with 16 strikeouts to just 2 walks. So I think that is the biggest key for him, is that the command has looked much better for Sheffield recently. 43% rostered. He's at the Angels this week. Not really a great matchup, but I'm pretty intrigued by what I've seen. Scott, can you rank McKenzie, Corbin Burnes, and Justice Sheffield if people need a starting pitcher to add?
I think I actually have to put Burnes ahead of McKenzie, which... I mean, it's not like I was racing out to grab Burnes in all my leagues, but like I said, I already knew he was picked up. So yeah, I'll go Burnes, McKenzie, and then Sheffield, a distant third.
Where would you put Sixto Sanchez?
I would put Sixto Sanchez between McKenzie and Sheffield.
That's what I figured.
So Sheffield is last, even with
those four.
Yeah, with Sixto Sanchez.
I mean, I would put other, I'm sure we could come up with some pitchers I'd put behind Sheffield.
Justice Sheffield or Marco Gonzalez?
Actually, Marco Gonzalez.
He's good, man.
That's like the Chris Towers special right there. That's
nobody wants to admit that Marco Gonzalez is good.
That's a great
duo.
Martin
Perez behind Sheffield.
There you go.
That seems to make sense. We'll have more on the waiver wire a little bit later on in the show. We saw our first decent sized trade of the season happen on Friday. The Phillies acquired Brandon Workman and Heath Hembry to help shore up their bullpen. The Red Sox received Nick Pivetta and Connor Siebold in return. Brandon Workman then promptly blew his first save for the Phillies on Saturday. He gave up a 2-run double to Matt Adams, and he just tried his best to do it. The game just ended not too long ago on Sunday night, and he was trying his best to pull that one too. So the game ended on a play at the plate. It seems like Workman is the closer for now for the Phillies, but it's not great.
I mean, Hector Neris was terrible on Saturday too. It's worth pointing out. I don't think he pitched today. I mean, Workman was already rostered everywhere that rewards saves, so I'm not really sure that there's any way to react to this in fantasy. But like, I'm concerned he's not going to solve their problem. He had a 123 batting average against last year, which is the second lowest for any pitcher ever, and seemed like it'd be difficult to sustain from year to year. He walks a lot of guys. Brandon Workman does, so I'm a little worried about him lasting in that role.
You know who walks even more guys? the guy who may replace him in Boston. Matt Barnes has 9 walks in 11 innings so far this season.
Yeah, and you were talking about Matt Barnes before we started, Chris. I know that you are a big fan. So how aggressive would you be on Matt Barnes if you needed saves?
Look, like he's probably going to be a high 3s ERA guy with a high whip. That's what he's been the last few years. He's going to get a lot of strikeouts. He had 110 and 64 and a third innings last year. He walks a lot of guys. He's at 4.3 for his career, 5.3 last year, 7.4 per nine. The whip is going to be a problem for him. And on a team like Boston, where I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school when I say that wins and saves might be hard to come by, I don't necessarily think he is a priority ad.
You know who would be the priority if you wanted saves? He's rostered in only 22% of leagues. Is Emilio Pagan.
Emilio!
Who I think is being overlooked because he has a 6.23 ERA so far. But I do actually think he's
trust
good.
The track record. Yeah.
Yeah. And Drew Pomeranz is out for who knows how long with a shoulder strain. So they've already lost Yates for the season, Pomeranz now. And looks like Pagan's going to be in that role for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, we actually had a lot of closer news from over the weekend. So Pagan has now picked up saves on both Friday and Sunday. So I agree, if you need saves, you want to be the most aggressive with Pagan on a competitive Padres team. And last year, Kirby Yates just led the league in saves. So there should be a ton of opportunities on that team. And then with the Pirates, we saw Keone Kella is day-to-day with a forearm injury, though their GM downplayed it. Richard Rodriguez picked up a save on Sunday. He's 3% rostered. The Rays placed Nick Anderson and Chaz Rowe on the 10-day IL. So a gentleman named John Curtis picked up the save for the Rays on Sunday. So
there,
that's going to be fun. Tampa Bay,
Alvarado's
as always.
Out too.
Yeah.
So who's left in that bullpen?
Diego Castillo. But he's been used in like his normal setup. He's kind of just used all over the place, like wherever they need him.
Yeah, they might be pretty close to getting Oliver Drake back, so he might be back in our lives as a prospective save source.
It would be interesting to see them try Jalen Beeks in the closer's role. He's been really, really good this season, but more in like a swing role.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if there's a bunch of lefties coming up that you see him in the ninth inning. It's just the way that the Rays like to kind of match things up and I believe he picked up a save last week against the Yankees anyway. Tanner Scott for the Baltimore Orioles picked up a save on Sunday. Cole Sulcer threw 33 pitches on Saturday, so I don't really think there's much to see there. Joe Jimenez, you want to talk about bad. You brought up Matt Barnes as bad. Joe Jimenez is quite bad. He recorded just one out on Sunday, allowed a 3-run homer. Jose Cisneros stepped in for the save. He has a 1.76 ERA this season. He is exactly 0% owned. Scott, if you missed out on Emilio Pagan, would you look at Richard Rodriguez? Would you look at one of the Rays guys? Or would you look at Jose Cisneros of the Detroit Tigers?
Well, what's interesting about the Tigers situation, I don't know. I guess it could be Cisneros. I actually think Gregory Soto is even better. ERA is higher because he had an outing where he gave up a couple home runs, but I actually think he's better. So he had already pitched obviously when Cisneros came in. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to play out. Did you mention Giovanni Gallegos? I'm not sure how available he is, but he looks like he might be reinserted to the closer role now after Andrew Miller had a couple of shaky outings, on Saturday, I believe it was. Miller started out the eighth, got two outs, and then Giovanni Gallegos got four outs, I think, without allowing a base runner.
Correct.
And then on Sunday, Andrew Miller worked early in the game as well. And it didn't end up being a save situation, so he didn't see Gallegos. But I think it might be Gallegos' job now on the down low.
So he is 58% rostered. He might be he might be available in some, you know, shallower leagues, some 10-team leagues.
You know who I thought about speculate? Who actually I actually did speculate on in a couple of my deeper rotisserie leagues. This is Jordan Romano of the Blue Jays, who got a save, I believe, Friday or Thursday. recently. And his numbers have been pretty awesome. 0.69 ERA, 19 strikeouts in 13 innings with only four walks. And I think Anthony Bass, he made a couple appearances this weekend that were not the kind of usage you'd normally see for a closer. So Jordan Romano, I think, is who I'd prioritize after Pagan, presuming Gallegos is already rostered.
All right, so you would go Gallegos, you would go Pagan, and then Romano, and then everyone else is kind of after the Pirates guys.
I like Richard Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, they haven't shown much of motivation to go to him the past couple years when they had closer openings. So I'm just kind of suspicious of what's going on there.
Craig Kimbrell was used in the eighth inning on Sunday. He walked two. He struck out two. Jeremy Jeffress picked up his third save. So that continues to be a headache as well regarding the Cubs. And then Taylor Rogers picked up his sixth save of the season Sunday, but allowed another run to score. His ERA is up to 5.23. We have talked a lot about Sergio Romo recently, so just remember the name Sergio Romo. And, you know, if you own Rodgers, you might want to own Romo as well, specifically in a head-to-head categories or in a roto league. Some news and notes. Ronald Acuna took on-field batting practice again on Sunday. MLB.com's Mark Bowman suspects that Acuna could be activated ahead of Tuesday night's series opener against the Yankees. So cross your fingers. That would be awesome to get Ronald Acuna back. Mention what's going on with Clevinger and Plesac. Gleyber Torres, quad and hamstring, ran at about 50% on Sunday and said afterward that, quote, "I don't feel any pain. We're looking at 2 to 3 weeks for Gleyber Torres." Speaking of the Yankees, James Paxton was also placed on the IL with a forearm injury and will be shut down for 2 weeks. Steven Strasburg is having season-ending surgery because of his carpal tunnel syndrome, which means that he will be at a discount next year in drafts and will wind up being awesome because that seems to be the trend with Steven Strasburg.
That's the way to draft Steven Strasburg. You draft him when nobody wants him and you fade him when everyone does.
The Cardinals are considering whether to have Carlos Martinez stretch out at their alternate training site or return to the team sooner in a relief role. So I guess that's another name to pay attention to for the Cardinals if he's using the bullpen. Obviously, he was very good last year as the closer for the team. So just pay attention, Carlos Martinez. The Blue Jays placed Matt Shoemaker on the 10-day IL with right shoulder inflammation. Pedro Severino departed Sunday's game against the Red Sox due to right hip flexor tightness. So pay attention to his status before your weekly lineups lock on Monday. Justin Turner was not in the Dodgers lineup Sunday because of a sore hamstring. Will Smith was activated for the Dodgers, which meant Kybert Ruiz was sent back to their alternate site, and Will Smith actually homered in his first game back on Sunday as well. Michael Brantley was activated off the IL for the Astros and was in their lineup. The Mariners placed Dylan Moore on the 10-day IL with a right wrist sprain. Salvador Perez was placed on the IL with that eye injury. Like, there's so many. I'm just reading off. There's so many names that are being placed on the IL. Scott, if you owned Salvador Perez, you're looking for a catcher to add in a one-catcher league, would you go with Joey Bart, Yadier Molina, or Sean Murphy?
Oh, Bart. Bart, I think, has doubled in all three of the games he's played in, including once off the bench. Very, very strong
off the bench. It's in foul territory.
Very strong first impression for Joey Bart, and I think somebody in a one-catcher league probably could use him.
Chris, if you're in a two-catcher league, who are you most interested in here? Chance Cisco, Jacob Stallings, or Austin Hedges?
I think it's Chance Cisco. The strikeout rate is absurd right now. He's struck out 20 times in 53 plate appearances, but he's walking a decent amount. He's a former top prospect, so I would bet on some of the talent there. Where's Jorge Alfaro as far as roster rate?
He's Alfaro away.
pulling up the roster percentage for Jorge Alfaro, it is 32%.
Yeah, he would definitely be one of the guys I would want to look for, in a two catcher league or even in a one catcher league. You know, if Bart's not there, Alfaro, he's not a great bet, but there's certainly talent there.
Ryan Mountcastle was promoted by the Orioles on Friday. He went a combined 3-for-9 with 3 walks over the weekend. He is 22% rostered. Scott, where would Mountcastle rank on this group of hitters? Randall Grichuk, Wilmer Flores, Robbie Grossman, and Mountcastle. Rank those 4.
I will go... you know, Grichuk was terrible over the weekend.
I mean, like, not surprisingly.
Yeah, not surprisingly.
He probably didn't become a brand. Like, he has power.
That's my point is I'm not sure we need to be giving him preferential treatment at this point. It might be Mountcastle number one, especially if you need first base help, which a lot of people do. He's starting out eligible there. He's going to pick up outfield very soon here. You know, I can't promise he's going to be great right out of the gate, but if I made an upside comparison for him on Twitter when he got called up to Jose Abreu, which now seems a little ridiculous because that was 6 home runs ago, but you know, in terms of being a highish batting average guy with 30 homer potential, but doesn't walk much, I think that's what we're looking at with Mountcastle upside wise. So I'll go Mountcastle 1. Then I'm going to go with Grossman 2, Grichuk 3, Flores 4.
Gosh, man, no respect for Randall Grichuk. I've been beating the drum a little bit for this guy. Yes, we know who he is, but he's doing things a little bit differently. He's striking out less. He's hitting a lot of line drives as well. So
I will say this, if any of these 4, including Flores, was available in like a 12-team roto league with the 5 outfielders, you know, full roto lineup, they wouldn't be available for long because they'd be putting in a claim for them. That's the caliber of hitter we're looking at on the waiver wire in that format.
If you're wondering what to do with your Mets, they've had no further positive tests, and if everything checks out on Monday, they should be able to start their scheduled series with the Marlins on Tuesday. Let's hit up the waiver wire and talk about some of these other names that performed well over the weekend. We already spoke about Sixto Sanchez and Tristan McKenzie, but let's just talk a little bit more about Sixto Sanchez. Chris, I don't know if you caught this game or had the opportunity to see some highlights, but you know, what were your takeaways from Sixto Sanchez? 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, 0 walks. He averaged 98.5 miles per hour with a fastball in his debut.
Sixto Sanchez looked exactly as advertised and pretty much exactly how he looked in the minors. Good control, not as many strikeouts as you think he should get given the amount of, you know, sheer stuff he has. And that's kind of been the story of his career. He's overpowered people, but not necessarily by getting a ton of strikeouts. He looked really good. He's an incredibly talented pitcher. And I think you should look, if he's out there in your league, you should definitely go try to get him. I think he shouldn't be on waivers in any leagues. There are rare opportunities to get a talent like this, mid-season. And given the fact that he was just okay in his first start and Tristan McKenzie was awesome, you might be able to sneak Sixto Sanchez in for a relatively low bid. That being said, I don't necessarily know if there's ace fantasy upside.
It was the third best debut I think we've seen from a starting pitcher this year after, fourth best. I'll go Tristan McKenzie, followed by, now I'm forgetting all of their names, Casey Mize and Dane Dunning.
It was sort of Dustin May-ish.
He had a 12.1% whiff rate, and you know, whiff rate in one start. How telling is that stat? But he did have 8 whiffs on 66 pitches. That's pretty good. And he got 3 each on his slider and changeup, which he threw a quarter of the time. So like, this looks like a fully fleshed out arsenal here for Sixto Sanchez, which makes me optimistic. He's going to be pretty good from the start here. It's just what degree of good is he going to be?
Stick with the Marlins. Eliezer Hernandez. I don't think that he's considered one of the Stallions, right? From last year. Who technically was? It was like Pablo Lopez.
Yeah, it Trevor was like Richards. Trevor Richards, Pablo Lopez, and Caleb Smith Caleb were Smith. Kind of the primary stallions, and then there were ancillary stallions, you know, like, Sandy Alcantara was like an auxiliary stallion.
Auxiliary style, like a pony.
Yeah. you know, Eliezer Hernandez is, I think he's okay. He's pretty good.
He is
maybe not just a one-pitch pitcher anymore. You know, that might sound sort of like faint praise, but, you know, his career has mostly been defined by his slider being really good and then nothing else being particularly impressive. But he's gotten somewhat better results with the four-seamer so far this season. And, you know, if he doesn't get hammered on that pitch, he does have a true, really, really excellent put-away pitch.
All right, Scott, I'm just going to list off a bunch of names that are available, widely available in CBS leagues right now from the weekend that had pretty impressive starts. So Eliezer Hernandez, Danny Duffy, 5 innings of 1-run ball against the Twins, Dakota Hudson, 4 2/3, only 1 hit allowed against the Cincinnati Reds, Matthew Boyd, he's 64% rostered. He's probably been dropped in a lot of leagues, but completely changed his pitch mix over the weekend, started throwing his change up a lot more than we've seen before, and the slider took a back seat. We had the Giants guys, Tyler Anderson threw a complete game out of nowhere. Logan Webb was awesome Friday. Trevor Cahill, all three of those guys were really great over the weekend. Martin Perez, Kwang Hyun Kim was good, 6 shutout. Anibal Sanchez was very good on Sunday. And then Luke Weaver, where, you know, we might actually be allowed to sing his name again. That's how good he's been. So Weaver, Anibal Sanchez, Kwang Hyun Kim, Martin Perez, the Giants guys, Dakota Hudson, Danny Duffy, Eliezer Hernandez. Does anybody stick out to you from that group?
I think the one who we didn't already have some hope for, who's actually shown something different this year and maybe elevated his stock as a result, I think it's Eliezer Hernandez, who Chris just talked about, because the whiff rate has been so good. And, you know, he's mostly been limited to 5 innings at a time, but been very impressive. And you look at his minor league numbers. I know 1 year he had just had ridiculous numbers down there. So Eliezer Hernandez is somebody who is worthy of some note in all formats. I'm not saying he's must add, but like, he would be on the short list of players that I'm adding in most of my leagues. You know, Matthew Boyd is obviously was the most drafted of this group coming in and is still rostered in a good number of leagues, but his last 2 starts, like it seems like he's trending the right direction here. He gave up a lot of home runs 2 starts ago, but got a lot of whiffs with the slider. It was his best whiff game by far this year. And what's most interesting about this start against Cleveland is he actually didn't use the slider that much. He leaned mostly on the changeup. Didn't get as many whiffs, but obviously the outcome was good. So I don't know if he's still figuring out his arsenal. Clearly Boyd is. You know, he needs more than just the slider, even though it's his best pitch. He actually had a good line about there being chocolate cake in the fridge and but you need to eat more than chocolate cake or something like that, referring to the slider. So if like the changeup is going to become something, maybe that's it, that fully rounds it out and he can really take that step forward finally. I don't think we need to bury Matthew Boyd, even though he's not trustworthy right now. I totally get that. But aside from Eliezer Hernandez, he would be the only one on this list that I have any real enthusiasm for.
Can you repeat that list for the listeners?
Yes. It was Luke Weaver, Anibal Sanchez.
Oh, Luke Weaver too. Sorry.
Kwang Hyun Kim, Martin Perez, Trevor Cahill, Logan Webb, Tyler Anderson, Matthew Boyd, Dakota Hudson, Danny Duffy, Eliezer Hernandez. So it's like a who's who of a bunch of pitchers there, outside of the ones that we obviously led off the show with. Tristan McKenzie is at the top of the list, I would assume, and Corbin Burns. But yeah. Lots of pitchers. Kwang Hyun Kim, I actually don't mind him as a sneaky start this week going up against the Pirates. Chris, Teoscar Hernandez has now homered in 3 of his last 4 games. He's up to 10 home runs. Is he a must-own player, even in a points league?
I really struggle with this because he's never been that before, and I'm not sure. Like, we've seen stretches where he hits a lot of home runs before, and that's never made us think that Teoscar Hernandez was someone who needs to be on your roster in every league. And like, he's still striking out way too much. His plate discipline is really bad. And so I have a hard time believing that he's all of a sudden a very different hitter. I think he's probably just really, really hot. And I guess you can add him while he's hot, but like, I have a hard time seeing him being worth starting in a three outfielder league.
He has a 61% hard contact rate according to FanGraphs, which I can't pull up the leaders right now. I would have to imagine that's up there.
59.7% on Baseball Savant, too. He is hitting the ball incredibly hard right now. It's probably just a hot streak.
He does have four steals also after stealing two bases on Sunday. So 10 home runs, four steals. And obviously he's owned in all category leagues, I would assume, with about 75%. That's his roster percentage, right? So I'm sure he's owned in all of those leagues already, but in the thing is, if you do need an outfielder in a three outfielder points league, the Blue Jays have really good matchups. So if you're you know, scouring the waiver wire anyway, I don't think it's a bad idea to take a chance on Hernandez, see if he can put together another week like this with good matchups. But
man,
my overall takeaway is the same as Chris's, where it's just he's hitting the ball harder. That's really the only change we're seeing. I'm just not sure that's something you can count on him sustaining all season.
And his already bad plate discipline is so much worse this season. He's up to 38% out of zone swing rate, down on swing rate in the zone from 73% to 64%. First strike rate up, swinging strike rate up. Basically everything you would want to see on a plate discipline basis is moving in the wrong direction. And I mean, look, if you're hitting the ball as well as he is, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't walk. But he probably can't keep this up.
Since I've been apologizing a bunch recently to players and fantasy owners, let's apologize to Jake Cronenworth, because I have not given this guy enough credit for as good as he has been thus far for the Padres. He has now started 10 straight games for them. He's batting .347. He has an OPS over 1,000. He makes a ton of contact. He walks a lot. He's a 31% line drive rate. He has first, second, and shortstop eligibility on CBS. Is 37% rostered. Played 6 games this week, with 3 of those in Coors Field. Scott, how excited are you over Cronenworth, at least for this week, the rest of the season? He's been pretty good.
I was waiting for him to become an everyday player, which, a couple lefties he's started against even. So that looks like it's something that's happening. And crazy thing is about Cronenworth, I mean, you mentioned he hardly strikes out. As good as his overall numbers are, and you know, he's batting, what, like .350 with an OPS over 1,000. His expected stats are even better. His XBA is .402.
Oh my gosh.
that's the amount and quality of contact that Jake Cronenworth is making. And, you know, it's not many at bats, but he's hit lefties well too. Like you said, triple eligibility. Yeah, that is somebody we need to start giving a lot more credit to. And in points leagues too, with that kind of strikeout to walk ratio.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited. 3 games in Coors Field this week, too. Look, I just think if you need to plug any of those positions, I was reading the names earlier. Everyone's hurt. Everyone's on the IL. So someone like that can really, really be of value in fantasy moving forward. Chris, a few other hitter names. I'll just do what I do with the pitchers and just read off a bunch of names, and you tell me if you like any of these guys. Miguel Rojas returned on Friday with a 3-run homer off of Patrick Corbin. Yandy Diaz, 3 straight multi-hit games. He's got a 64% ground ball rate. Don't love that. Brian Reynolds, 6 hits over the weekend. Luis Garcia, 3 hits and 3 runs scored on Sunday. He is batting .357. Isaac Paredes hit a grand slam on Friday, 3 more hits on Sunday. And then Stephen Piscotty has multiple hits in 2 of his last 3. And low-key, he has 21 RBI this season. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Piscotty, Paredes, Garcia, Brian Reynolds, Yandy Diaz, Miguel Rojas, any interest there, Chris?
Yeah, there are a handful of interesting hitters there. Obviously, Brian Reynolds was, you know, very startable last season. I don't think he's just, completely lost it. Sorry. And so, you know, if he's available, he's probably the priority add. I would say Luis Garcia is probably second for me. And, you know, this is something that I've talked about a little bit so far this season, but, you know, with the fact that we don't have any minor league games, Luis Garcia was, if not the youngest player in his league last year, one of the youngest. He just turned 23 months ago. He turned 20 in May. So he was 18 for the first month of last season, playing, I believe, in Double A the whole year. So it is possible that he took a huge step forward and we just didn't get to see it coming because he wasn't playing in games. He is a top prospect, even though the numbers haven't quite shown it. And he is definitely the guy I'm most interested in here.
Scott, don't think that we're going to let
Brian Reynolds.
Don't think that we're going to let you off the hook there, Scott, because we haven't heard the phone ringing in a while, but
I wasn't sure if this new microphone would pick it up.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
I heard it. It was very.
This was actually a tweet from Chris that I just now got. I think he sent it like 20 minutes ago or longer.
I'm so sorry. I hope it was about how hot Justin Thoreau is in season 3 of The Leftovers, because my goodness.
Oh, I need to talk to you about The Leftovers.
That beard. Man, he showed that's just like, oof.
Oh, man. Chris, hot and bothered here on Sunday night, Fantasy Baseball Today. Gotta love it. Some deeper league ads. If you are desperate for an outfielder, Cedric Mullins has started 8 straight games. He has 11 hits during that span. He hit leadoff Sunday as well for the Baltimore Orioles. He is 2% rostered. If you need steals in a deeper format, Miles Straw really does not play all that much, but he has 5 steals, and he is one of the fastest players in all of baseball. And Justin Dunn, I don't know where this came from, Scott, against the Rangers Sunday, 6 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Any interest, even in deeper league?
I mean, he was a prospect of some note coming in. 15 whiffs in this start. I mean, it's a very good start independently of all the others. It's just he had shown nothing in the previous starts, and I can't see anything that's changed. So I'm not saying nothing has changed for Justin Dunn, but you know, based on the evidence in front of me, I'm just going to call this one a fluke for now, and we'll see what it does next time.
The drop-o-meter. Let's fire it up. Chris, we'll start with you. Adrian Hauser at the Pirates on Friday. He did go 7 innings, but allowed 4 earned runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, 71% rostered. This is now 3 lackluster starts in a row for Adrian Hauser. Where is he on the drop-o-meter, Chris?
Like a 5. I've hung on to him in my points leagues where he's RP eligible. So it's not a priority to drop him.
Scott, Jake Odorizzi was hit with a line drive on Friday. He went just 3 innings, 5 earned runs in that start, only 1 strikeout. He is 79% rostered. Jake Odorizzi.
I think he landed on the IL too, with a chest contusion. I will go 7 on Odorizzi.
John Lester. Wowee. It was only a matter of time, but against the White Sox on Friday, 8 earned runs over 3 2/3 innings. I know it seems ridiculous that we're talking about John Lester, but he's rostered in 88% of leagues, Chris. So where is he on the drop-o-meter?
Like a 6 or 7. He's not someone who needs to be on your roster in even a 12-team points league, especially. Totally fine dropping him.
Yeah, I was thinking like 10, honestly.
if you play in a 12-team roto league, like, it's hard to find pitchers whose arms are still attached. So
fair. Scott, Lance McCullers was at the Padres on Friday. Another interesting name. Like, it feels like we shouldn't be talking about Lance McCullers dropping him, but 4 earned runs over 5 innings, just 2 strikeouts. He's really only had 3 solid starts, and those came against the Mariners twice and the Giants once. So where are you at with Lance McCullers in terms of dropping him?
Yeah, he's searching for it a little bit, first year back from Tommy John surgery. I think, you know, three turns ago at this point, where he had 1 7-1 hit innings and then followed that up with a solid start against the Mariners. So, I mean, if you just look at his last 3 starts, two good, one not so good. I think he's trending the right direction. And I would, I mean, it'd have to be a really shallow league where I'm like, my lowest player is Lance McCullers and I need to pick up Tristan McKenzie. And, you know, I'm not even sure that's a move everybody should make. So I'll go three on Lance McCullers.
I would definitely drop him for Tristan McKenzie for what it's worth.
Okay.
Andrew Heaney allowed 5 earned runs over 4 2/3 on Friday. His ERA is up to 5.52. Chris, Andrew Heaney.
He always hurts me. I'm always like he has a 3.16 FIP. He's getting a lot of strikeouts. His control is still decent. I still want to believe that Andrew Heaney can be good. I would definitely drop him for Tristan McKenzie. So I'll say it's a 5 or 6.
Tarik Skubal was not much better in his second start. He did get a lot of strikeouts at Cleveland, but 2 1/3, 3 hits, 1 earned, 5 strikeouts, 69 pitches to just get the 7 outs that he recorded. Scott, where are we on Tarik Skubal?
I dropped him in our 16-team podcast for the People League, so I guess I'd go 8 here on the drop-a-meter. I mean, the talent is evident, but is he going to progress enough that he's usable within over the next 5 weeks, basically, soon enough during that stretch for you to actually justify reserving a roster spot for him? I'm skeptical about that. Of course, he could go out and dominate next time out, and then we're all rushing to pick him up, but... I think in most leagues I could find options on the waiver wire I'd prefer to have instead.
Scott, where are you on the does Matt Manning get called up if Tarik Skubal continues to be underwhelming O-meter? He's the third of the Tigers' big pitching three.
Yeah, and they did say he was behind the other two in terms of development, which wasn't so obvious coming into the year. I mean, the fact that they showed a willingness to call him Mize and Skubal already, like, I expect to see Matt Manning before the year is done. So could it be in place of Skubal? I don't see why not.
Or a Matthew Boyd trade.
Yeah.
Seems more likely.
That would not be surprising if we saw Matthew Boyd traded. Take a quick break. Just remind you to drop a 5-star Apple Podcast review. If you can, we'd appreciate it. Leave a question. We'll answer it on a future podcast. And join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/fantasybaseballtoday. Lots of interesting questions, some discussion on there as well. It's a lot of fun. So make sure to join our Facebook group. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I have some sell high candidates, potential sell high candidates, and we'll look at the rest of the action from this weekend here on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Should we be trying to sell high on these pitchers right now? And is it even realistic? Can you get anything good in return? I guess we're about to find out. Scott, Dallas Keuchel on Friday against the Cubs. 8 innings, 1 run. ERA is down to 2.65. He does, however, have a 3.97 XFIP. He's changed up the pitch mix this year. His sinker usage is down 18%. He's throwing more cutters. He's throwing more changeups. Do you think it's realistic to sell high on someone like Dallas Keuchel? He might still have some name value in some fantasy circles. If you can trade him for Carlos Carrasco right now, is that something that you would do? Carlos Carrasco had another not great performance on Sunday, 4 earned runs over 3 1/3. So where are you at with Keuchel and potentially trying to sell him for Carrasco, Scott?
I mean, I'm fine with that. It's kind of like the trade I recommended last week, Zach Wheeler for Luis Castillo. If you can do like a combo, sell high, buy low. I think Keuchel's good. I think he's definitely not great, but, you know, good counts for a lot at starting pitcher right now, just because there's so many people just trying to hold it together there at that position. So when you have one that's strung together this many good starts consistently, and you offer him to a guy who definitely needs pitching, I mean, yeah, you're probably going to get some bites on that, but you need to make sure you have enough pitching to account for that loss.
Fair. Yeah. Regarding Dallas Keuchel, look, he's been very good, but, you know, he's just doing it the Dallas Keuchel way. It's not flashy. He's not getting a lot of strikeouts. He's getting a lot of ground balls. And then
what I love about it is he joined the White Sox and immediately started throwing his cutter more because Don Cooper just can't help but be Don Cooper. Yeah. But it could be working for him.
You know, Keuchel actually has the third highest swinging strike rate of his career, which, you know, it's a pretty long career at this point. He hasn't gotten many strikeouts with it, but maybe he'll start to. I don't know.
Chris, I'll throw two names your way. Dustin May, 5 innings of 1-run ball on Saturday against the Rockies. He has now allowed 2 runs or less in all 6 of his starts. He's got a 2.79 ERA, but a 4.30 XFIP. And then our boy, Randy Dobnak, 5 innings of 2-run ball on Saturday against the Royals. He has allowed 2 runs or less in all 6 starts. He's only reached 6 innings in one of those. It seems pretty obvious the Twins are not going to let him go very deep into starts. Do you think it's realistic to sell high on either of these names, Chris? Dustin May and Randy Dobnak.
I think if you could get a top 50 starting pitcher for Randy Dobnak, I would do it right now. I would give him up for Dallas Keuchel for sure.
He's like aspiring to be Dallas Keuchel.
Right. Yeah. Like he makes Dallas Keuchel look like Chris Sale. Like pre-injury. You know, like Randy Dobnak has a 13.5% strikeout rate right now. It's not impossible that he can continue to be effective at that strikeout rate, but it's going to take a lot of things to go right, and you shouldn't count on everything going right for him ever moving forward. Like, that's just really hard to do. Dustin May, I don't know. I don't know what the perception of Dustin May is. If there are people who think he could be an ace or is an ace, or even is like a starting pitcher number 2, I would try to trade him because I think his approach caps his ceiling. And like, if you want to trade him, go to twitter.com and do like a search for pitching ninja Dustin May and just send the results to the person you're trying to trade him for. Because when you watch Dustin May, he looks way better than he actually is. I think he's good. I just think he might be like Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, look, and that's not a bad thing necessarily, no. But there is a lot of hype around him. He has an 8% swinging strike rate, so really just does it with 2 pitches. He doesn't get a lot of strikeouts. So, if you could trade Dobnak or Dustin May for like Lance McCullers right now, Chris, is that something you would try to do?
I'm less optimistic about McCullers than Scott is right now. I think he's throwing his fastball and changeup too much and needs to get back to throwing the curveball. It's his best pitch. But
nothing's stopping him from doing that.
Right. He's just not yet. And right. I'm less optimistic about him turning it around than I believed I would have been before the season. So I don't dislike the idea. Lance McCullers is, like, if you can find someone in the top 40, yeah, I would do that. Like Carlos Carrasco, if I could get Carlos Carrasco for either one of those guys, I would do it in a second.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about Carrasco either. The only thing in his line that's worrisome right now or in the underlying stats is just that he's walked so many guys, which wasn't even the issue today against the Tigers. He gave up. He just started getting hit hard in the fourth inning for some reason, a couple doubles, a couple home runs. But I think the stuff is intact and I think he'll figure it out.
These players were on fire over the weekend. I mentioned Jose Abreu and Manny Machado. Abreu, 7 hits this weekend, 6 of which were home runs, 3 homer game on Saturday, a triple dong. We don't see that very often. He finished the week with 64.5 fantasy points on CBS Sports. Too. What's up?
4 at bats in a row. Tied the major league record.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. He is awesome. 64.5 fantasy points. It's just, wow. It's insane. Manny Machado, multiple hits in 5 of his last 6 games. He added his 8th homer and 3rd stolen base of the season on Sunday. Trent Grisham, 4 hits on Saturday, including a triple dong as well. Trey Turner, if you were ever worried, hopefully the steals continue to come, but 6 hits this weekend, including his 5th homer, his 2nd steal, now batting .316 with a .949 OPS, is Trey Turner. Travis d'Arnaud, 3 more hits on Friday, hit a home run. His expected batting average is .331. He's averaging the 2nd most fantasy points per game for catchers, behind only JT Realmuto. So Travis d'Arnaud has been awesome. Yu Darvish, I think it's time to get him inside my top 10 starting pitchers rest of season. On Sunday, 7 innings of 1-run ball, 10 strikeouts, just 1 walk. His ERA is down to 1.70. And Kyle Lewis got 8-game hitting streak, including 3 hits Saturday, his 7th home run of the season he hit on Sunday. The emails are rolling in regarding your Kyle Lewis take, Scott, to which you say...
Well, I think the way I worded it for Kyle Lewis was Kyle Lewis is not good. This is the hill I will die on. I may have been overstating it a little. I may not need to actually die on that hill. I maybe can just, you know, get beaten down to the point that I'm still... like coherent enough to recognize that, okay, there are some things changing here in Kyle Lewis's skill set that backs up the production a little more, like the strikeout rate, which started out awful this year, just like it was last year. Suddenly it looks like good. It doesn't even look okay, survivable. It looks good. He's just stopped striking out.
Real underlying improvements there as far as like his swing rate overall is down, but his swing rate on pitches inside the strike zone is actually identical to last season. He has just cut his swing rate on outside of the zone pitches from 36% to 22%. And
that's massive.
That's a really good way to avoid strikeouts, is if you stop swinging at pitches you can't hit. And, you know, his contact rate on pitches outside of the strike zone and inside of the strike zone, they're both up a little bit. But his overall contact rate is way up because he's swinging at fewer of the pitches that he can't hit. And so that's a really good sign.
And even in terms of like how hard he's hitting the ball, I mean, it's he still doesn't rank very high there, but like it's gotten better since I last looked at it. And then you look at the expected numbers, .297 expected batting average, .524 expected slug. I mean, those are obviously good numbers. I don't think anyone would try to argue that he's actually as good as his overall numbers suggest, which is, you know, like a .360 batting average, OPS over 1,000. Like, he's not going to sustain that. Is he going to be good enough to be a starting caliber fantasy outfielder all season long? I mean,
maybe
if I have him, I am hoping for that outcome. Now I am not just trying to sell him. I am thinking that's a definite possibility. Kyle Lewis is actually good. Maybe not great, but actually good.
For what it's worth, like, he's been a power standout so far in his career. .249 ISO, .217 this season. That's the part I might be most skeptical about. You know, his max exit velocity through, 50 games over 2 seasons or 60 games is 110.9 miles per hour, which is fine, but usually... you know, if you're talking about a really good power hitter, it's usually a little higher than that on the max. Like 10.7% barrel rate, 33% hard hit rate, 87.8% or 87.8 mile per hour exit velocity. I think he's probably more just like an average power hitter. But with the gains he's made as a strikeout, you know, in terms of his contact rate, it could be enough.
Some weekend leftovers. Kyle Lewis, by the way, is a top six outfielder in points leagues right now. I don't think that that is going to remain, but, you know, he has made some tangible changes this season in terms of his plate discipline. So it's really, it's nice to see things are coming together for him. Some of the leftovers from the weekend, Aaron Nola had a clunker on Friday. He had this to say: I got myself in a lot of bad counts, a lot of 2-0 counts. Nola said, it's hard to pitch when you're that far behind. Three walks, leadoff guys on base. It was pretty bad all around all night. Again, that was Aaron Nola. I don't think there's any concern here overall. I think everyone's kind of due for a bad start here or there. Again, for Aaron Nola, Zach Davies. I mean, gosh, like, how long is he going to keep this up, Scott? 8 innings, 2 earned, 7 strikeouts against the Astros. It's not the same lineup because they're missing a few people on Saturday, but 3 runs or less in all 6 of his starts. He's got a 3.03 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing with Zach Davies? Are we just continuing to throw him out there?
He's a little different this year. He's a better version of himself. He's made his change up, his primary pitch, and which, you know, kind of an oxymoron there, but it was always his best pitch, so that makes sense for him to do. And it's still like the ratios still aren't good. They're just better. They're not terrible anymore. He has a 4.16 xFIP, which, you know, if he's pitching deep into games, it's going to make him a decent streamer type pitcher, but I wouldn't expect more than that from him in the long run.
It should be said he had a 1.38 ERA through 6 starts last year and was below 3 through 14. So like the most likely outcome is Zach Davies is being dropped everywhere in a month.
Well, and I probably should have
probably
put him
not in a month because the season will be over. But
right. I probably should have put him in the sell high candidates. I think he's another one in that mold. I think if you can get, you know, like a Carlos Carrasco for him, that's probably like the prime buy low candidate that we keep.
I would trade
up.
Him for Matthew Boyd. Even I'd rather.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd rather stash away that upside.
Lance McCullers. I would rather have.
Mm-hmm.
Last but not least, Alec Bohm and Dylan Carlson on the same day hit their first career home runs on Sunday. 3 hits for Bohm, and Dylan Carlson went 2 for 4. Guys, is there anything else that you wanted to add from this weekend? There was a lot, as usual. Try to get through as much as we possibly can. Anything else?
Dylan Cease is not bad.
He isn't. Yeah, he's actually been quite good. 6 innings of 2-run ball, 5 strikeouts, 3 walks at the Cubs this weekend. Outside of his first start, 2 earned runs or less in 5 straight.
I just don't know why he's getting so few strikeouts. That's the thing that's really hard to make sense of. He has a 16% strikeout rate. You know, given the stuff he has, and the fastball is playing up even more, you know, in terms of velocity, but all of a sudden his whiff rate on that has collapsed. And that's a little concerning. But given the fact that he's managed to be, you know, pretty effective so far without, you know, harnessing the full potential of his stuff, I think is a reason for optimism.
I would like to say, yeah, I agree. I mean, the whiffs have gone up the last 3 starts for Cease. He's been using a slider more, and this was a rare test against an actually a pretty good team in the Cubs when he's been mostly facing bottom feeders. He has a bottom feeder this week in the Royals. The xFIP is 4.63, so if the whiffs don't come around, I still think in the long run it spells trouble for Cease, but he's trending the right direction. I wanted to mention, since we mentioned the name, but not exactly what he's doing, Wilmer Flores. He homered in a 3rd straight on Friday. I think he's up to 7 home runs on the year. I don't see anything in the underlying numbers that would suggest he's a changed player. I think I mentioned on the last podcast, I think he's always been a pretty underrated player, makes a lot of contact, decent power, and he's getting to play every day for the Giants, has a lot of versatility. But his best stretch of the season, I think, is... it's pretty safe to say it's behind him already.
That'll do it.
Oh,
no, it's not. That will not do it. Chris, final thoughts?
No, I was just going to, like, did the Giants moving the fence in have that big of an impact?
Actually, we'll talk about this over the next couple of days because someone sent an email.
Yeah, that's something I want to look into.
About offense being up in Oracle. So that is something worth looking into, and we'll talk about it over the next couple of days. For Scott and Chris, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today on our YouTube channel. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.